also about how God's word is received into a heart, practiced in a life. And so in that regard, its message are going to apply to all of us here, team and everyone else besides, as well as myself. So it starts not with the story, but with the setting. Jesus, on the shore of Lake Galilee, is amongst a great crowd, a great number of people. Everyone from the sincere to the hostile to the curious were there. Also there were the very needy, hoping for a miracle, the sick, the blind, the deaf and disturbed, people brought in stretchers, worried parents of sick children just wanting Jesus to lay his hands on them. And at this stage of his ministry, this was the way it was with Jesus. Wherever he went, there were people, all sorts of people followed him. And little wonder when you think about it, because everywhere he went, people were there either angered or amazed by his teaching, healed by his miracles, delivered by his power, and sometimes fed lunch into the bargain. So little wonder Jesus was very popular. Jesus was big news in first century Galilee. And on this particular day, there was such a crowd pressing him, trying to get his attention, that he had to get out into a boat and put out a little bit from the shore's edge before he could actually talk to the people. And the team going to Lasleia will have to deal with numbers of people as well. Not on this sort of scale, but there will be people who will crowd around and will at times press you, try to get your attention, maybe get on your nerves a bit. And that's something that, as a team, we have to be prepared for. For those going for the first time, one of the memories you'll take away is when we do a feeding program. We'll drive into Celluloosh with loads of bread, pasta and sauce, and they'll all be packed into yogurt pots. And when the children see us gathering there, they'll come crowding down to us, and they'll be clamoring and jumping and shouting. It'll be chaos. But Linda will also be shouting at us, and she'll be delegating and getting telling us to get the children in a line, and someone give them a couple of slices of bread, and someone mark their hands so we'll know they've been in the line so that they don't get a help and then nip around to the back of the line and get a second or third helping. And so, can I say this to the team? We're going to have people around us all the time. We're going to have each other with us all the time, and that can be stressful over a period of 10 days. Last time that we were out, I remember Ernie and I, and perhaps there was someone else, I just can't remember, but I remember Ernie and I, we were putting up a slide in one of the villages, and we had kids who just would not leave us alone. They annoyed the life out of us. They nicked our shovels, and they were throwing stones at us, and they got in the way. Isn't that right, Ernie? And in almost every setting, there'll be adults who'll mill around. They'll just be curious at what we're doing. There'll be teenage mums standing with a baby and a hip, hanging on a hip. It'll be madness. There was a young girl a couple of years ago who wouldn't leave James alone. She was eyeing him up and down. She had a baby as well. And one day during the lunch, she set the baby on James' lap. I think that was a kind of Romanian proposal. Scared the life out of him. And I'm not sure what I would have said to Helen if I'd brought her home. So team, as we go there, there'll be people there, lots and lots of people. And God's work, we'll see in this passage, involves people. Jesus ministered to people. And in his name, he calls us to minister to people. We don't have to go to Romania to do that. But those who do go will have the privilege of sowing God's word, of showing God's love to those around. The money that we bring out, something in around perhaps over £12,000, it'll build a church, it'll feed and clothe, it'll run camps, it'll change lives. The works we do and the words we say will bring the good news of the gospel to people. That's a privilege for us, It's what Jesus did, and that's what he's called us to do. Luke 19:10 tells us, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And the people that Jesus saw that day on the shore of Galilee were lost, needy people. People that his heart went out to. He cared for them. He loved them. And to them he reached out with this story. Simple, but incredibly profound story about a man sowing seed on his land. I'm old enough to remember, and if I'm old enough, there's certainly a number of us here old enough to remember seed being scattered by a bag, just by hand, for a bag hung around the neck. And there was also the fiddle that came along later. And seed in that setting could have gone anywhere. Not all of it landed on the cultivated ground it was meant to. And in first century farming land, the seed was liable to light on anywhere, any part of the land. Cultivated land in those days was not a huge big field. It was a narrow, snaky strip between paths and rocks and overgrowth. And so wherever the farmer scattered the seed, it could have fallen on any one of four different types of surface. That was the case in Jesus' story. Some seed fell on hard ground, which the waiting birds immediately picked off. Some on shallow soil, which grew for a while, though later storms would uproot what was grown. Some fell amongst thorns, which eventually choked out the seedling before it had any chance to bear fruit. And some in good soil, which in time grew and bore fruit of varying proportions. And in this little story, recurring, I believe, Jesus would cry out to that big crowd. He would say, "Listen, if you've got ears to hear what I'm saying to you." And so this parable is not just following Jesus' example in sowing his word and showing his love to the lost. It goes deeper than that. In fact, it turns everything around. In it, we see how people receive God's word, receive his love. And so in this parable, we're called to examine over the course of our lives, be that long or short, how we receive God's word. Four different types of listener. Which one might we be? Here's the first. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. This is the hard path that Jesus mentioned. He explained later to his disciples that this first listener was someone who heard, all right, but couldn't or wouldn't understand the message, and so they rejected the message outright. And also in the scene is the devil, who comes immediately, Mark's gospel says, and steals away the word that was sown into their heart. There are hard path people that I've met in life, people like this. They've heard the word okay, but they've just no time for it. And it has had no impact on them. Their life is a series of comings and goings that exclude God. For many, their life is no more than a sports page and a beer, fishing rod or a magazine, an hour at the beautician, planning their next holiday. There may be no major obvious sin in their life. It could be, to many, what would say, decent people. But there's no interest in God or his words either, because life is too much about other things. Someone wrote this little verse. I think it fits a hard path person. Into this world to eat and to sleep, and to know no reason why he was born, save to consume the corn, devour the cattle, flock and fish, and leave behind an empty dish. And as I was writing these words, I looked out in that beautiful view that I have and the fields that are in front of me. I looked at cattle grazing in the field. I thought to myself, that's how some people live, just to fill their appetites. Nothing more, really, at the end of the day. And Satan is very happy to keep those people that way. For as soon as a sermon is heard or a gospel tract is handed to them, he just comes along and he dangles another interest in front of them. And they follow the glitter of that or the attraction of that. And so it takes them away from the message they could hear that they might change their life. It's no wonder Jesus cried out passionately to that huge crowd, take care how you listen. Let me ask us this morning as we consider this first person, is that someone here? Is that you who year by year after year over the course of your life, close your heart to his words? Let me say something. You don't have to. You don't have to become easy prey for the devil. God wants us to soften our hearts and open our hearts. And it doesn't matter if we've closed them to now, as long as we open them now. The second listener had a different problem. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, Jesus explained. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe for a while, but they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow. Now these listeners, they started but stopped growing. The picture here is of a root system that has stopped growing downwards. Maybe it's hit a rock or a hard place. We don't know. It's just stopped growing. It now rests in shallow soil. And to all appearances, on the outside, it's a healthy-looking plant. But only a storm, only adversity, only difficulty, only a trial will test how strong it really is. Now, Jesus isn't talking about plants. He's talking about people. People who perhaps have made a commitment to follow him. If that commitment goes no deeper than the warm, fuzzy feeling we may have got when we ask Jesus into a life, then it doesn't go deep enough, because that will never be enough. Feelings come and feelings go. Emotions rise, emotions fall. At our Ambassador's Week, I asked my group of children how many of them had given their lives to the Lord. And all of them, except one little boy, put his hand in the air. Did the same thing last year with a different group. Do you know, and it's led me to conclude that I think an awful lot of people at some stage in their life invite Jesus into their heart. They ask him to be their savior. Not all of those people, however, make him Lord. Not all of them follow. Not all of them attend the church. Not all of them open their Bible and seek to grow in faith. Many rest in the shallow soil of a childhood commitment to the Lord, believing that they'll be okay. Well, I ask Jesus into my heart. But they might not be okay. Jesus makes it plain to us in this parable that a true follower is one whose Christian roots grow deep. He told us that not everybody who calls him Lord will actually enter the kingdom of God, only those who followed him and obeyed him. So folks, a growing Christian is one who's putting their spiritual roots down deep into the soil of God's love. They're reading not just their Bibles, but good books as well, to grow, to understand who this God is. They're seeking to practice their faith. They're in the fellowship of God's people. They're drawing from a source that's deeper than them. They're not just existing on the flutter they get sometimes from meeting a Christian person. The faith that perhaps you said yes to once is a faith that you must take personal responsibility to grow in. That's our responsibility. It's nobody else's. Because at times, it's just you and God. Are we listening? That's what Jesus wants us to know in this parable. Does this apply to us? Because it's important how we listen to God's word. Is perhaps he challenging you to go deeper? He has ears to hear, let him listen. 1:2, Jesus spoke to the hard-hearted. He spoke to those whose faith was perhaps shallow. And he also spoke to the distracted listener. The third ground, the thorny ground, represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. And so they never grow to maturity. And I think this type of listener, this third listener, is very prevalent in our action-packed, fast-paced, modern way of life. God's word has definitely been heard by this person too. In fact, it's very clear that so many resources have gone into this person's spiritual formation. By God's grace, they've known his love and his care and the water, their faith has been watered and their faith has germinated and sprouted, and indeed they are a growing Christian. But so too in their life is sin. The weeds and the thorns which competes with the grace for the soil space in which those roots grow. This person is squandering the grace God gives to a Christian believer on other sinful things. They have other interests, harmful interests, which they accommodate and which over time are just choking out any spiritual life. And so eventually, if it's left, something's got to give. Whatever was there, whatever that was in that person's life, it dies. That's the message in the parable. It's choked. The seed of God's word is choked. This is a lost heart we're talking about. A heart that's overcome with a love for riches, pleasures, and all other kinds of self-interest. It's not a true believing heart. It never got the chance to grow properly. As Jesus explained in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, no one can serve two masters. You're either going to love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. It's down to how we listen. Jesus stood on the shoreline and he cried out to those people. He says, I want you to listen. If you have ears to hear, listen. Can I ask us, does this dangerous path seem familiar to you? If it does, can I plead with you before the life is choked out of you to take heed to this parable? What distracts you? What else are you chasing? What else shares the root structure of your life that preoccupies your mind and drains away the resources of faith that God so lovingly and graciously pours in? What do you need to cry out to God for, to get rid of, in order that your spiritual life can form and grow, blossom. The writer to the book of Hebrews tells us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance that race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes not on anything else that's going on around us, but on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus addressed people with hard hearts, shallow experience people, distracted lives, and finally people who grow. But the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's message, they cling to God's message, and steadily produce a harvest. And in this heart, the seed of God's word does not bounce off a hard surface. Neither does it temporarily flourish in shallow soil, nor is it strangled by competing desires. Rather, this heart is a heart that allows God's word to take a deep root. And then, over time, produces fruit. The harvest of good character, changed character. The fruit of the Spirit, love. There's love in this life. There's the joy of knowing God in this life. Peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's what God wants to grow in a life. And that's followed by a bounty of good works as this Christian serves its Lord. This is, you know what type of person this is? This is a good-hearted, faithful, perhaps unspectacular person who has applied himself, herself, to God's word. They're making a difference in their church, in their community. They are the ones who, they're there. They faithfully attend. They're there to worship, there to serve. They're dependable, consistent followers of Jesus through whom he's building his church. Are they perfect? No, they're not. They are flawed human beings that get tired, make mistakes, and need to say sorry. But you'll find this about them. Their root systems, to use this analogy, have found a source of nurture in a personal relationship with Jesus through his word and in prayer. They're nourished by him. They're not immune to the challenges of faith that others resist or take the easy way out. They're not immune to the temptation to pursue a lifestyle that shares Jesus with other stuff. But they persevere, keep going. And this parable of Jesus encourages us to persevere, to keep going, to keep serving, to perhaps start being faithful. In closing this commissioning service, our time is gone. Could it be possible in this crowd, just as in Jesus' day, his crowd has four different types of listener in it? Represented here are four different kinds of heart. Hard heart, shallow heart, distracted heart, and a persevering heart. And in that crowd of Jesus' day, each one of his listeners would leave after hearing this parable to make their own response. Some would leave as hard as they came. Some would leave as distracted as they came. Some as conflicted as they came. But his disciples left pondering his word and asking questions. What does this mean? What does it mean for me? And if I could create, sorry, let me rephrase that. If the Lord can create anything within us this morning, it would be perhaps for us to go away with that thought. What does this mean for me? Lord, you know my heart. You know what I'm like. You know where I am. Let no one else judge anyone else. Let's go looking at our own hearts. Let's see how they can soften, how they can deepen, how they can unclutter, how they can grow. Let's pray. Lord, we want to go this morning with those words ringing in our ears. Take care how we listen. For everyone who has, to him more shall be given. And everyone who does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. We pray, Lord God, that as your word resonates in our heart over the course of this day and even over the course of this week, we pray it would have its profound effect in each person's life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.